It's Friday the 4th of December 2015. Happy birthday to Andre Robertson. Welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Big Money Boss. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like Big Money Boss and sponsor the podcast, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes. It's as simple as that, and thank you again to everyone who has done that. It's been fantastic, and if anyone's got a spare 5 minutes, I'd just really appreciate if you could go and do that on iTunes. It really does help the podcast out a lot. Also, a big thanks to moneyball.com.au, Australasia's only daily fantasy sports site, so make sure if you are in Australia or New Zealand for that matter that you are jumping on Moneyball and hopefully winning yourself some money. I cashed in all my cash games today, so I was pretty happy. Actually, that's not true. In one of the head-to-heads I lost, in all the other cash games I cashed. I was pretty happy with that. Didn't do that well in the tournaments, but pretty happy to get a cash game going. And I think that's key in daily fantasy is playing the bulk of your lineups in cash games. I think I play about 90% of mine through cash games and then just put one or two tournament entries in, and that's a good way to build your bankroll. That's the way that I've been doing it this season, and that's the best way that I can suggest for you to do it. All right. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the games from Thursday. There were 6 games on, a much busier schedule than what we're used to on a Thursday, and I for one loved it. So,
let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night goes to Kawhi Leonard of the San Antonio Spurs after a quiet game in the last one against the Bucks, where he was limited in his minutes because the Spurs were spanking the Bucks. Leonard came back out. He played 33 minutes, and he got red hot. He went 27 points he scored on 9 of 13 shooting, but he went 7 of 9 from 3, had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block. The man is he's doing it all this season. He's a top 10 player. He's averaging career highs in points. His three-pointers are double what he scored last season. He's got more rebounds than last year, more assists than last year, more blocks than last year, on better percentages both from the field and from the free throw line. He's turning the ball over less. The only thing he's worse at this year is at steals, and he's still at 1.8 steals a game. He is turning in an incredible season. You'd have to think that he's in line for all NBA honors at this point. And if Steph Curry wasn't playing, he'd be one of the leading candidates for MVP. He's doing so much for this San Antonio Spurs team. And the good thing about it, one of the good things, is he's got his minutes increased to 34. And we like to see these, and it's always a concern with the Spurs. They've got limited upside due to minutes and all that stuff. He's at 34 minutes a game. He's putting up superb stats, and the Spurs are going well despite the struggles of some other players who we will touch on a little bit later on in the show, and I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. The waiver wire line of the night goes to a guy that shouldn't be eligible for the waiver wire line of the night, and that is CJ Miles. He played 32 minutes here. He had 27 points. He went 8 of 11 from 3. That's his second 8 three-pointer game of the season. Only he and Steph Curry have reached 8 threes in a game this year. 6 rebounds, a steal, and a block, and he was 9 of 14 from the field. I mentioned he shouldn't be eligible for the waiver wire line of the night because he shouldn't be on that many waiver wires. He's currently owned in only 59% of leagues. Normally, when I look at a waiver wire line of the night, I use a cutoff of 70% ownership. He should be well above that. Yes, he has times when he can have poor nights and he's streaky, but look at what he's done this season. 15.8 points, this is only in 28 minutes. 3.3 threes, 2.5 rebounds, 1.4 assists. They're not that much, but 1.3 steals on 45 and 78. So he's helping you in points, in threes, in free throw percentage. He's nice. The steals are a positive contribution. He has to be owned. And if you're in a 9K league, he doesn't turn the ball over as well. So it gives you that added bonus there. He's currently ranked inside the top 60 on the season for 9 category leagues. Just putting up some crazy, crazy numbers. And there are some games he's going to move to the bench, like he did against the Clippers, where they went with LaVoy Allen. But he's still got okay minutes off the bench. But in general, he is a starter on this team, and he is going to put up these sort of numbers. Well, not these sort of numbers, not 8 three-pointers regularly, but he's going to hit a lot of threes. He's going to get steals. He's going to score. He will probably get injured. That's something that CJ Miles does as well. So be prepared for that. But for now, there shouldn't be any league that he is unowned in. I know he's owned in every one of my leagues, but going by 59%, there are some people playing out there, unless they're in six-team leagues, that he has to be owned in all of those leagues. So make sure that CJ Miles is owned in your league. The young gun of the night goes to Joffrey Lavernier of the Denver Nuggets. Lavernier, one or two days after Mike Malone came out saying, Nikola Jokic, he's earned this starting spot. Yeah, he's earned it. He's done so well. Well, he's on the bench now. Lavernier takes the starting job back. 14-10 for Lavernier. He had an assist and a block on some really good percentages, 6 of 9 from the field, and he hit both of his free throws. This is the concern with the Nuggets that we've had for most of the season is there's a lot of guys here. Lavernier, Jokic, there's Nurkic to come back. Where are the minutes going to be? Jokic with a J, he was already borderline a 12-team league guy because his minutes were capped by the presence of these other guys. Now he's in a bench role. We can probably move on from Jokic. Lavernier is going to be in a similar role because even though he was good here, he still only played 25 minutes and he still does have to deal with the presence of Jokic. And this was a game where Fareed was out. So, yeah, that's just another body to add into that front court mix. So I'm not rushing to... You can add Lavernier. And if you own Jokic and you want to do a swap for Lavernier, I completely understand it. But his upside isn't... To me, Jokic is still the better player than Lavernier, as much as I love Lavernier. I don't think that there's a big rush to go and grab Lavernier in all leagues or anything like that, because for him to approach 30 minutes feels like it's not going to be something that happens all the time or very often at all. Malone will switch these guys quite a bit, I think, and play hot hands and all that sort of stuff. It looks like a complete mess. I actually dropped Yusuf Nurkic in a 12-team league that I own him in because of this situation and because I was dealing with Jonas Valanciunas and Rudy Gobert also being injured, and I couldn't stomach that many injured guys. But because of this, even when Nurkic comes back, maybe Heaney plays 23, 24 minutes. It's a good position for a basketball team to be in, having so many capable centers, but it's not good from our perspective as fantasy owners, definitely. The dart of the night, Danny Green. 25 minutes for Danny Green. 0 of 5 from the field. 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. He's been pretty yuck this year. And I know it's an understatement, but he's been very yuck. And his shot is just not working. He's shooting 29.9% from 3. We're talking a 12% dip from last year. He's at 32% from the field in total. There's a 12% dip there as well. And that accounts for the drop in points. It accounts for the drop in three-pointers. It doesn't account for the drop in his defense. His steals are down from 1.2 to 0.8 and 1.1 blocks down to 0.6. So you know, almost half the blocks and a big 33% drop in his steals. What do you do with him? I understand dropping him, and I'm not going to tell you you're wrong or you're crazy or anything like that. The minutes are still there for him. He's still getting 28 minutes a game. I still think that he can turn it around. I think that he can have a stretch where he's a top 50 player this year. But it feels like he's getting worse. And I don't know how that's possible, but that's what it feels like. It feels like he's actively getting worse. There's no one there taking minutes away from him. Yeah, in fact, he lost his biggest competition for minutes, and that's Marco Bellinelli. He's just in a massive, massive slump. If you own him anywhere, I can completely understand dropping him. But if I'm sitting comfortably at the top of standings and Danny Green gets dropped, I'd add him just in case. Just, you know, you would hope that some of these things start turning around. I would add him. And if I already own him and I'm up the top, I would hold on because the payoff can be pretty big with those really hard to get, you know, threes, steals, and blocks from a guard. But right now, it is very, very difficult to stomach exactly what he's doing at the moment. Not good at all from Danny Green, and the Spurs know it. They're not changing his minutes because he's their best option, but they know that he's in a funk. They know the whole offense is a bit funky at times. So I think that, yeah, I think they need to look at some, I don't know, some way of giving him more. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the problem is with Danny Green. I'm still preaching patience, as hard as it is to do. I'm preaching patience in most situations. If you're down the bottom, you need to mix things up, fine, go ahead. But there are going to be plenty of teams who are actually leading the league that own Danny Green still. And that's a situation where I'd still be holding. especially in a head-to-head format where at the end of the season, if he starts getting hot, you're going to reap those benefits. So if you're sitting pretty and you're flying, I'm okay with holding on to Danny Green in those sort of scenarios. But it is pretty tough. I'll admit that. The daily fantasy value play of the day, Darrell Arthur of the Denver Nuggets. He got the start with Kenneth Faried out. He only cost $3,900 and he put up a 37.2 point performance, which is obviously really impressive. He had 19 points with 6 rebounds, 3 threes, 2 steals and 2 blocks. In standard leagues, you're not really doing much with him. He's only a deeper league guy because when Faried comes back, he goes back and plays minutes in the teens. And then the presence of Lavernier and Jokic as well, who both of those guys can play at power forward also. That limits Darrell Arthur's usefulness. But when he gets a start, he tends to put up numbers relatively regularly. So he's someone that you sort of, in DFS situations or even seasonal, stream him in for a day and get some value if you're able to know that a guy like Faried is out. So another big game from Darrell Arthur, and hopefully if you snuck him into your DFS lineup, he won you some money. All right, before we get into these box scores with a bit more details, just another quick word from our sponsors, and that is No Halftime. You guys know what No Halftime is by now. It is an app on your iOS device that you can download, and when you do download it, use the promo code DUNK, and that gives you $25 free. So let's read this ad we've got here. You're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and thinking to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players, not his entire team, but your fantasy sports service doesn't allow you to. Now you can on the all-new No Halftime app. The No Halftime app allows you to create individual challenges using players or teams. For example, you can pick Kristaps Porzingis versus Karl Anthony Towns, LeBron versus Melo, Harden versus Steph. Creating a challenge takes seconds, and accepting challenges is even easier. No Halftime challenges can be private or public and created for the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, college football, college basketball, and other sports. Join today and get started. Real money and fantasy supremacy awaits you. Visit NoHalftime.com for more information and to download the No Halftime app for your iPhone. Receive a bonus by entering in the promo code DUNK, D-U-N-K, at sign up. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. And if you are watching along on our YouTube, you can see down the bottom, No Halftime, and that promo code DUNK, which is on the screen. So make sure you are taking advantage of that $25 offer that they are giving to all Red Rock listeners. And aside from getting yourself $25 free, help the podcast out as well. All right, let's talk about these games now, and let's see what sort of let's see what we can work out from looking at these box scores and delving into them in a little bit more detail. The first game to take a look at is the Thunder and the Heat. Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant both put up 25 points in 34 minutes. Not overwhelmingly huge lines from both those guys. 25, 5, and 7 from Westbrook. 25, 9, and 5 from Durant. So solid, but nothing spectacular there. Enes Kanter, only 21 minutes off the bench. 10 and 3. He pretty much is done, I think, to me, in standard leagues. I don't think you can keep holding on to him. Steven Adams was 9 and 8 in his 20 minutes. And Serge Ibaka struggled here. 9 and 7 with a 3. It was a pretty decent matchup for him, but he just couldn't get anything going. Onto the Heat, Goran Dragic had his best game almost of the season. 14, 3 and 7, 2 threes and 2 steals. He still deserves to be owned in leagues. So if someone dropped him, you make sure you own him. But I don't know if this is a sign of things to come. I guess we wait and see, and we hope if you do own him. Dwayne Wade went 28, 4 and 4. Good night from him. 16 and 8 for Bosch. And Hassan Whiteside has definitely cooled off a little bit. 11 and 8 in 29 minutes here. 2 blocks. It's still really serviceable, but he's not the out-of-control guy that he was to start the season. Josh McRoberts showed a little bit here. 19 minutes for him, 12, 3, and 4 with a steal and a block, but he's still obviously only a deep league player. While Gerald Green got the start in place of Luol Deng and struggled. 5 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. Not the greatest performance from Gerald Green. And Justice Winslow continues to get big minutes. 34 minutes here, 2 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. It's basically impossible to use him in a seasonal fantasy league or even in a daily fantasy format with those sort of numbers. The next game to take a look at is the Denver Nuggets and the Toronto Raptors. Will Barton played 31 minutes off the bench, 22, 4, and 4 with 3 threes and a block. Continues to be a must-own player, much to my complete amazement at the way that he is getting these numbers. Danilo Gallinari, 21, 5, and 3, and Randy Foy continued to start, even though before the game they said Gary Harris was going to start, and then next minute Gary Harris didn't play at all. So Foy got the start, played 36 minutes, went 12, 2, and 4 with a 3. Emmanuel Mudiay's struggles continue, 5-3-9 with a 3. So you love 9 assists, but you just don't like anything else about his line. He is only available, or he's only ownable in head-to-head leagues, and he's only ownable in certain situations. It's only got to be some teams where Mudiay has value, because the percentages, the turnovers, they're just going to kill you otherwise, and it's going to be very detrimental to your team. Jameer Nelson also chimed in with 7 assists. The Nuggets had 30 assists as a team. Onto the Raptors, DeMar DeRozan, 34-5-5. That's a pretty decent line. Nice percentages from him as well. And Kyle Lowry filled the box score, going 16-6-8 with 3 threes, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. And he has been incredible. Another big minute night for Corey Joseph. He's back up to that 28-30 minute mark. 15-4-2 with 2 steals and a 3. If he's back to that range, then 12 teams can take a look at him. The interesting thing to me here again is Bismack Biyombo limited. 25 minutes for Biyombo, 6-7 with a block. And that's because Bebe Nogueira played another 16 minutes. 6 points, 1 rebound, and 1 steal for Nogueira. Now, I'm not adding Nogueira apart from deeper leagues, definitely in dynasty formats, but it's reducing Biyombo's usefulness in standard leagues. Before, he was playing 33 minutes and grabbing 10 or 12 rebounds and getting some shots blocked, and that was fine. But in 25 minutes, it's not the same for Biyombo. So let's see if this is a trend. Let's see if it's because it was a back-to-back. Let's see what happens in the next game, but you might need to move on from Biyombo if he's going to continually play these minutes in the mid-20s. Luis Scola got 8 points in his 22 minutes. Patrick Patterson did nothing. And Damari Carroll, not a great night from him. And his shooting is still not right, only going 3 of 12 here for 10 points and 6 rebounds. The next game is the Orlando Magic and the Utah Jazz. The Magic with their 5th consecutive victory since moving Victor Oladipo to the bench. He's not playing as big a role as we hoped. 24 minutes only for Oladipo. 14 points, 7 rebounds, a 3 and a block. So he's still producing some fantasy value. You hope that he's able to get those minutes back to 30, but it's not looking like it at the moment. Andrew Nicholson played another 24 off the bench, 14-2 with 2 threes. Nothing. I'm not looking to add him in 12-team leagues. And we saw Nick Vucevic with another big line. 16-8, 3 assists, 2 steals and a block. I love it. I love Nick Vucevic. I'm constantly frightened that Scott Skiles is going to reduce his minutes or bench him, but he's put up pretty consistent numbers over the last 4 or 5. Toby Harris went 17-7. Evan Fournier went 14-6 with a couple of threes. And Lord Alfred Payton went 14-3-7 with 2 steals. And this has been consistent for about the last 3 or 4 games. Yeah, those guys getting those minutes. Oladipo playing the 24 off the bench. Andrew Nicholson getting 24 off the bench. Channing Frye starting and playing 18 minutes. And Aaron Gordon and Mario Hezonja doing nothing. If you own Aaron Gordon in standard leagues, there's pretty much 0 point in holding onto him. Yes, you can stash, but it's been showing lately that Skiles has no interest in playing him and zero interest in dealing with Mario Hezonja. On the Jazz, their first game without Rudy Gobert, and they did start Trevor Booker, but they didn't play him very much at all, just 15 minutes for him, and that was the concern, is that the times earlier this season when Gobert had missed, they went with Trey Lyles as a starter, they didn't give Booker the big minutes, and it happened here. They went quite small, playing Gordon Hayward at the 4 some as well, and he responded well, Hayward. 24-5-4, 4 threes and 2 steals, so hopefully you preached, patience, hopefully you exercised patience at the start of the season with Hayward, because he's starting to round into form now. Derek Favors went 12-10. Alec Burks went 21-5-3 with 3 threes and 2 blocks. So nice night from him off the bench, while Rodney Hood really stunk here. 3-4 in his 25 minutes. Trevor Booker, there's going to be some nights where he plays 26, 27 minutes, or maybe 30 minutes, and that's going to be fine. And if you added him, I would still hold, but I don't know if the Jazz are going to lean towards playing him 15 minutes. It's hard. The game that Favors missed the other day, he played like 30 minutes. And Gobert doesn't play, and he plays limited minutes. And to be fair, he's better than Trey Lyles. He's a better option there. Joe Ingles played 21 minutes, which is a little bit confusing to me, but the Jazz did decide to go quite small. And they're able to do that, I guess, because the Magic do go relatively small too. So there's something to look into that in terms of matchups. But Trevor Booker's value in standard leagues is pretty muted, I would say. Despite his ability to put up numbers if he gets 30 minutes, his ability to get 30 minutes might be limited. That's probably the best way of me phrasing that. The Spurs and the Grizzlies, another smackdown from the Spurs, a 20-point victory. 6-10 for Duncan with 5 assists and 3 blocks. He's still really, really good. And Tony Parker, in only 24 minutes, he's definitely having a bit of a resurgence lately, 17-7-5, while Manu went 13-3-4. And I'm still going to state that Manu has appeal for 12-team leagues, definitely. LaMarcus Aldridge, 18-4 with 3 blocks. Nothing really to see there. And the Spurs bench, there's nothing all that exciting to really talk about with those guys. Onto the Grizzlies, a pretty big line for Marc Gasol once again. 15-8 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. He is coming into some form. Mario Chalmers got hot, 15-5, 2 steals and 8 of 8 from the free throw line. So his ability to draw fouls is still somehow through the roof. I don't really understand what's happening there. But this was a blowout again. So Russ Smith saw 4 minutes. So there's your sign. James Ennis saw 6 minutes. So the low minutes totals for guys like Conley playing 28, Zach Randolph playing 29. That's because it was a blowout. So let's not read too much into this. The Grizzlies were pretty poor in this game, though. Matt Barnes only got the 20 minutes. But again, let's remember it was a blowout. So if you added Barnes in that back end of a 12-teamer, because he was getting 27 minutes, I'm not dropping him based on this performance. The last game of the night is the Indiana Pacers and the Portland Trailblazers. Talked about CJ Miles' big night. It's not the last game of the night. My mistake. There was another one as well. CJ Miles, a big night there. Paul George, one of his more disappointing nights of the season, 11-7-3. He struggled shooting the ball. I think that's fair to say. 4 of 17, but we know how good he's been this year. Rodney Stuckey played 31 minutes with Monte Ellis leaving the game with a right shoulder contusion. Ellis played 18 minutes. Stuckey played 31 and went 17-5-6 with 3 steals and a block. That is a huge... Sorry. Yeah, 3 steals and a 3. That's better. That's great. 8 of 8 from the free throw line is great, but I'm not rushing to add Rodney Stuckey anywhere. Jan Mahinmi, double-double, 10-11. I talked about him a little bit yesterday. I think he's got appeal in certain league or certain team build structures because he's getting consistent minutes and putting up consistent block and rebound numbers usually. Chase Budinger, with Ellis out, also got some extra run, 23 minutes for him, 10-3 with a couple of threes. And George Hill got things going after a little bit of a lean run, 18 points for Hill with a couple of threes and 3 assists. The Blazers, Damian Lillard, 26-3-9, 5 threes. This is pretty stock standard for him these days. And CJ McCollum destroyed your field goal percentage and went 21-5-5 with 3 threes and 2 steals. So nice counting stats, horrible percentage from McCollum. I don't know why that the Blazers went with Noah Vonleh starting again. Played 18 minutes here, 6-4. And Myers Leonard went for 12 points in 25 minutes off the bench. Leonard still is a must-own player, as is Mason Plumlee, who went 12-10 in 26 minutes with a block. Al-Farouq Aminu got things going a little bit here. Well, not a little bit, quite well. 13-6-5 with 3 threes and a steal. He'd been in a massive, massive funk. Hopefully this is the start of something new. His minutes don't appear to be really in too much danger, but his production had been so bad that he's still probably not a must-own, especially for 10-team leagues. Alan Crabb is also starting to play really well here. 18 points on 4 threes with a steal as well. His shooting has been red hot. Another one of these wings that's turning in career best shooting seasons, like Will Barton, like Kent Bazemore, like Jeremy Lamb, and we just don't know how long it's going to be able to sustain for. Ed Davis is a decent defensive option for most teams. 13 boards here, 2 steals, and a block. He grabs 7 of those rebounds offensively as well. So if you're looking for someone in that deeper format, or even a 12-team league with certain team builds, punting points is one of them, adding the rebounds and getting some steals and blocks, Ed Davis is one of those guys who can really help you out. The last game of the night, this is the last game of the night, the Boston Celtics and the Sacramento Kings in Mexico City. The Isaiah Thomas rematch against his former team, he was crazy, especially in the first half. Ended with 21-6-9 with 4 steals and 3 threes. Avery Bradley went 23-1 with 4 threes and 3 steals as well. So that backcourt continues to fire. I think the most exciting thing for me on this box score is to see Kelly Olynyk playing 25 minutes and showing again what he can do. 21-4-4, 3 threes and a steal. Now, he got big minutes because Jared Sullinger got himself into foul trouble. He played just 14 minutes with 4 fouls, so they put Olynyk in. And you know my thoughts on Kelly Olynyk. You know that I think he should be getting big minutes and allowed to do this sort of stuff. So he's always someone to watch if this becomes a trend. Jay Crowder had one of his best games, 23-6 with 4 threes and a couple of steals. And Amir Johnson had 7 boards and 2 blocks in his 23 minutes. Not much else to really report on from the Celtics. From the Kings, Rajon Rondo got himself kicked out with 2 technicals and hurling a barrage of abuse at the referees. A suspension may be coming for Rondo for the language he was using towards the referee, so keep that in mind. He was not very good here. 5 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists and 2 steals is still okay, but not a great night from him. Willie Cauley-Stein suffered an open finger dislocation, which sounds yuck. He is out for the next 4 to 6 weeks. So if you were still holding on to him, you can obviously drop him. 8-5 with a block in 18 minutes for Cauley-Stein. And Kostas Koufos got himself back going after a really disappointing game in the last outing. 7-10 with two steals and a block, and you'd think that he'd take an extra few minutes on board with Corley Stein out. DeMarcus Cousins, one of his quieter nights, but he did deal with foul trouble. 25 minutes for him, 16-7-4 with two threes and a block, while with Omri Caspi sat this one out with a gastroenteritis. So we saw Marco Bellinelli play 26 minutes, Ben McLemore played 25, and Darren Collison got 26 minutes. Collison's still a borderline 12-team league guy. He doesn't seem to be able to crack 30 minutes again when it was pretty much his standard at the start of the season. So it is really hard to continue to own him in standard leagues, I think, at this point. All right, that is it for the recap of Thursday's games. Time for a quick break in the program, then we'll be back to look at the daily fantasy action for Friday. I saw your picture today. We're back now to look at some daily fantasy action. Actually, you know what? Before we look at the daily fantasy action, what I normally do on a show for Friday is look back at the last 2 weeks of action and see what went down. So let's do that. Let's do the seasonal stuff first, and then we'll head into daily fantasy. So for you daily fantasy people, just have to wait a couple more minutes. Let's talk about the top 20 players from the last 2 weeks in head-to-head leagues. Number one is still obviously Steph Curry. He's miles ahead of everyone else. Number two, we have Kevin Durant. Three is Russell Westbrook. Four Harden, five Davis. So that's the top five basically from the way it was drafted. Order a little bit different, but that's the top five guys. Kyle Lowry, a surprising guy at six. He's had a fantastic season and still been red hot the last couple of weeks. Paul George at seven. Robert Covington at eight, and he is owned in 83% of leagues. The other 17% of you, what's happening? What are you doing? Why? What's going on? He's averaging almost three threes a game, 16.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, a block, 3.5 steals. Just superb numbers. He has to be owned everywhere. He's not going to be top 10 good, but he's 100% ownable. What's going on? Kevin Love at number 9, he will suffer a bit of a drop when Kyrie returns, which looks like it's going to be pretty soon, hopefully. DeMarcus Cousins is at 10. Andre Drummond is at 11. Damian Lillard at 12. Kawhi Leonard at 13. Avery Bradley at 14. That's probably a shock that he's averaging 20 points a game over his last 8, which is the last 2 weeks. Three triples and 2.3 steals. So there's a lot of his value there. He's also shooting a ridiculous 51% from the field. This is not Avery Bradley. He will not shoot that. He's looked really good, but you have to think it's going to come down. Kristaps Porzingis is at 15. I bet a lot of people are shocked that he's averaging 3.6 blocks over the last 2 weeks. 15.6 points, 1.1 threes, 10.6 rebounds. He's been awesome. Is there a chance he remains in the top 20 this year? Probably very, very slim, but I would be shocked if he wasn't a top 50 player by the end of the year. Eric Bledsoe at 16, Jimmy Butler at 17, Paul Millsap at 18, Isaiah Thomas at 19, and Brandon Knight at 20. So that is the top 20 players over the last 2 weeks. Now what I'd like to do is look at the top 5 rookies and the top 5 sophomores. The top 5 rookies, Porzingis at 15, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at 50, Karl Anthony Towns at 79, and his minutes have been, I don't know if worrying is the right word, but it's baffling, it's bizarre. I would be buying real low on him if I could, if someone is going to go low on him, because I think that the minutes will start to come back up at some point and he will get out of this, you know, Sam Mitchell-induced funk. Jahlil Okafor at 104 and TJ McConnell is down to 110. So we can see the slide of TJ McConnell beginning, and we're going to have Tony Roten returning this weekend. So everybody make sure you brace your eyes for basketball bliss with Tony Roten back on the court. Second year players, Jordan Clarkson is the best one of those at the moment. He's at 75. Zach LaVine is at 78. Clint Capela is at 84, and that is only in limited minutes. So he has tremendous per minute upside. He just needs to be able to stay on the court, whether it's foul trouble, which limited him in the last game, or Terrence Jones or Donatas Motiejunas, who is returning soon as well. So Capella's still a guy that I want to own in pretty much every league if I can absorb the free throw hit, but there's going to be rough nights with him, definitely. Nikola Mirotic is at 100, and Andrew Wiggins is at 102. Spoke about Mirotic the other day. If people were dropping him, I'm making sure that I'm picking him up. A couple of guys that are worth looking at in terms of sell high players. I touched on Robert Covington at 8. If someone believes in him as a top 10 player, then I'm selling him. Avery Bradley at 14, same thing, but you're probably going to find it hard to find people to bite on that. And Darren Williams, who comes in ranked at 35. Yes, he's been really good, but I don't think he's that good. I don't think he's a top 40 player. So if I could move on from him and someone offered me a good deal, I would. Buy low players. CP3 is ranked 25 at the moment. He's also out injured. So when someone's injured, it's a great buy low opportunity. Klay Thompson is coming on. He's ranked 56 the last 2 weeks, which is an improvement from last week when we did this. And the last couple of games have been much better from Klay. So again, don't give up a top 15 player to get him, because I don't think he's back to that. But if you can get him for, you know, that this value where he's at now, I think he'll exceed that. Mallow's at 71, been really quiet the last two games. I reckon that is a lot of that illness induced. So I'd be happy throwing a late pick at him if someone is really fed up. Al Horford at 97 has been in a slump as well, and Nerlens Noel at 174. He'll be dropped in some leagues, Noel, and I can understand it to a degree, but I think his upside is tremendous. The defensive numbers obviously have to return, much like Danny Green, but once they do, his ranking is going to rise significantly. Last thing I want to do here, or second last thing, is look at the top 100 players and see which of them are owned in less than 50% of leagues. So Rondé Hollis-Jefferson is ranked 50th, Thabo Sefolosha at 51, they're useful for the defensive numbers, steals, some blocks, and rebounds. So depending on what you need, they're providing them in pretty good chunks. Jared Bayless at 62, who knows what the hell is Jason Kidd's going to do? Yeah, he's been playing him 30 minutes every night and then doesn't play him at all. You would hope that he comes back into either the starting lineup or into that sixth man role, but I'm not dropping anyone of great value for him just in case Jason Kidd stuffs it up again. Isaiah Cannon at 63, maybe he takes a hit with Roden coming back, but he's been providing enough value with threes to keep you pretty happy. Ish Smith at 66, he's done. Matthew Dellavedova at 68, that's really impressive for Dellavedova. I don't know how he's that high, but I don't think we need to worry too much about him. Jose Calderon I'd be owning in most spots at 74. Patrick Beverley at 77 is providing some pretty good numbers, so I'm okay with owning him in most 12-team leagues. Jordan Hill at 80th, no. Mirza Teletovic at 82, really just a stream option for threes, to be honest. Clint Capela at 84 and Yami Himi at 90, I spoke about them already. Kosta Kufos at 94, he's a back-end 12-team league guy, as is Shane Larkin at 99. And this is pretty consistent from Larkin to be in this top 100. Don't think that there's a spot for him in 10-team leagues, and you have to sort of be in a certain spot to be able to roster him in a 12-team league. But the numbers don't lie. He's putting them up at the moment. You just think there's potential for them to drop off. Triple ones. Now, triple one is a player who averages over a three, a steal, and a block. And the guys who have done that in the last 2 weeks are Kevin Durant, DeMarcus Cousins, Kemba Walker, Patrick Beverley, J.R. Smith, Toby Harris, Kawhi Leonard, Robert Covington, and Jimmy Butler. And the ones obviously to focus on there, Patrick Beverley, and J.R. Smith, he's available in leagues too. He should be owned pretty much everywhere. But with the return of Iman Shumpert and Kyrie Irving happening soon, obviously he is going to have somewhat of a hit. Doesn't have to be huge, but it'll be some sort of a hit that he will cop, I would imagine. All right, Daily Fantasy guys, let's talk about that now. There's only 6 games on a Friday, which is an unusually small amount. Again, I love it. I love these spread out schedules. It's fantastic. The first game of the night is the Phoenix Suns and the Washington Wizards. There's a lot of injuries we need to pay attention to here. Markieff Morris and Tyson Chandler are both questionable. Morris missed the last game with a knee. Chandler's missed the last 3 or so with a hamstring issue. And if both of those guys doesn't play, it affects a lot. So we need to check. If they're both out, then we see massive plays on John Lua and Mirza Teletovic and even Alex Len in some tournaments. So all those guys get a bump. If they're both, they're all back, then it's hard to rely on any of them. Markieff Morris has a real fantasy-friendly game, but he's not putting up the numbers. I would be avoiding all of these players until you find out exactly what's happening. And if Morris and Chandler are out, then Teletovic and Lua become the players that we need to pay attention to. For the Wizards, Marcin Gortat is out. He's traveled back to his home in Poland to be with his mother. He's out for the next few games. We don't know the status of Nene and Drew Gooden, and that can be really key for this team because they don't have many big men. So if Nene is out, who plays center? I think it's going to have to be Chris Humphreys, and he's at minimum salary. So wait to see what the status is on Nene, but minimum salary for Chris Humphreys, he doesn't need to be great, but if he has to play 25 to 30 minutes, he should be able to eke out enough value at minimum salary. And that's, again, 19 points, done, locked in, fine. You need to check on the status of these other guys, though. Yeah, Nene at 4,100. He could be definitely worth a look because they might have to run him out 25 minutes with these other guys out. Ryan Hollins is their only other big man on the roster, and he was signed about 3 days ago. So I don't know. That should say enough to go, well, maybe they're going to have to run Humphreys and Hilario out there. I don't know why I called him Hilario. Why? They're going to have to run Humphreys and Nene out there for decent chunks of time. Jared Dudley at 3,600, you'd think that he's almost definitely locked in at 30 minutes because he'd been playing the power forward, but Humphreys is going to have to play at the 5, and Nene is going to have to play at the 5. So Dudley at 3,600, he hasn't really got it going as of yet, but if he puts up 18 points, you're okay. It's all he needs to do, 18 fantasy points, and he can do that. He can get hot. He can have a 25-point game, no problem. So he's a pretty solid tournament play. John Wall's been playing a lot better of late. His price is up to 9,000 though, but averaging 50 across the last three, I'm okay with using him. This is a relatively friendly matchup against the Suns. Same goes for Bradley Beal, who's been at 33.5 over the last three. Relatively consistent there despite his poor shooting at 7,100. That's not a bad price point for him. And again, with Gortat out, other guys have to pick up the slap. So Otto Porter is going to be owned in very few formats because he's been pretty bad lately. But he's at 5,100. The Suns are a really good matchup for opposition small forwards. Maybe Otto Porter has the chance to put up a big line. There's an opportunity for him, definitely. So in a tournament, I'm not steering clear of Otto Porter. And on the Suns side of things, Brandon Knight is now up to 8,000. And Eric Bledsoe is up to 8,800. That's pretty expensive for both of those guys. Knight's averaging 34. Bledsoe's averaging 39. It's not enough at those salaries. I don't think I'd be all that keen in rostering either of those guys. TJ Warren at 4,300 has been a little bit disappointing the last couple of games. Tournaments only, I would say, is the best bet for looking at him. And I mentioned Alex Len and John Lua and Mirza Teletovic a little bit earlier. The next game is the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks, the Battle of New York. The Knicks are favored by 3.5 here. The total is 193. Andrea Bargnani has already been ruled out for the Nets. I'm sure that affects so many decisions. I like Brook Lopez at 8,300 here. He's been putting up over 40 in the last five games. And at 8,300, that's basically where you want him to be. This is not a hard matchup against his brother. Speaking of his brother, his minutes have been all over the place, averaging only 17 across the last three. You'd think he'd be pretty keen to go up against Brook. But who knows what Derek Fisher's going to do. There's maybe a tournament chance for Robin Lopez, but cash games, no thanks. Mallow is down to 8,300. Really been underperforming lately, but I imagine this is sort of a game that he wants to get something big happening. So I'm okay in some spots, but I'm not really loving it. Kristaps at 7,300. The salary continues to rise, but I think it's really hard to avoid him. Once we hit to 75, 76, maybe I'll go against him, but I think that there's something to like still with Kristaps here. Aaron Aflalo, I'm not a fan, as you're probably aware. He did put up 24 in the last game, though, at 4,900, so it's not horrible, and it is a pretty easy matchup for him. And Langston Galloway at 4,000, it's a great matchup, but is he going to get enough minutes? The risk is high enough to avoid him. Thad Young at 6,600, I think that is an okay bet. It probably is a little bit too expensive, though, so not for every situation. And the Nets point guards, Jarrett Jack and Shane Larkin, I'd probably avoid both of them in this matchup. Milwaukee and Detroit, we've got some Jason Kidd goodness to look forward to here. The Pistons are favored by 6.5. The total is 194. We don't know the status of Grievous Vasquez. He's missed the last few with a sore ankle, as has Spencer Dinwiddie with a knee, although he was apparently active to play in the last game, or he was active to play and he just didn't get used. He doesn't impact daily fantasy really much at all. I think Stanley Johnson is an interesting tournament play at 3,500. The Bucks do allow small forwards to put up big numbers, and he has put up some big numbers of late. So at 3,500 min salary, he's worth a look. OJ Mayo, you would who knows? Who knows what the hell is going to happen? But I would guess that he is going to start, and he could play 20 minutes. He could play 45 minutes. This is Jason Kidd's mindset. Who knows? We don't know what he's going to do. So let's use OJ Mayo probably in tournaments. At 3,700, there is some value there. Ersan Ilyasova at 4,300 in a matchup against his old team, there's some value there too. And 5,000 for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, I think, against this matchup against the Bucks is pretty decent also. Andre Drummond at 9,400. Yeah, I don't hate it. I think there's a pretty good chance he returns value, so it's not a bad matchup there. Marcus Morris had his best game in a while in the last game, so that probably means he sucks in this one. And Reggie Jackson is on a massive hot streak. He's at less than 8,000. He's averaging 46. The Bucks are able to shut down point guards though, but Jackson's on such a hot streak that I think that he still can put up a pretty decent game here. So I'm okay using him. The other Bucks guys, Michael Carter-Williams, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Jabari Parker, Greg Monroe, their minutes could be anywhere. They could be all over the place. So I'm probably, yeah, they're tournaments only to me. I cannot rely upon Jason Kidd in any sort of cash game format. The next game is the Los Angeles Lakers and the Atlanta Hawks, fresh off a victory against the Washington Wizards. The Lakers are underdogs by 11.5 points. The total is 202 here. Tiago Splitter has already been ruled out for the Atlanta Hawks. I love Jeff Teague at 6,900. I like Al Horford at 6,900. There is definitely a blowout factor here, but I think that they should be able to return enough value at that salary to be useful. Kyle Korver at 4,500. That's really cheap. He could get hot too, and this is a great matchup for shooting guards. I like him a lot. And Mike Muscala is a cheeky one because maybe the game gets out of hand. There's no Tiago Splitter. Maybe he gets 24 minutes. Maybe. And at 3,600, he could put up 24 points. He's done it already this year. A tournament guy to look at. Thabo Sefolosha at 4,400 is also interesting. He's averaging 22.3 points over the last few games. He's had a high score of 39 this year. The minutes have been there, averaging 32 across his last three. It's an easy matchup for small forwards. Thabo is he's someone to have a look at. I think that's probably the best way of phrasing it. Paul Millsap at 8,500 also has quite a bit of value. The Lakers guards, D'Angelo Russell, he's in a bit of a hole at the moment, so I don't think we look at him. Jordan Clarkson at 6,100, I'm okay with using him, averaging 34 across the last three and looking genuinely pretty good, as has Kobe, who's averaging almost 30 across the last few games. I don't think this is a great matchup for Kobe Bryant, though, so I'll probably be avoiding him in this one. Tim Hardaway Jr., just for those of you who aren't aware, has been sent down to the D League for the Hawks, so there's no chance of seeing a Tim Hardaway sighting in this game. Houston and Dallas. The Mavericks are favored by 5.5. We have the second highest total, at 209 in this game. We know that Dwight Howard is out for the Rockets. We know that JJ Barea is out for the Mavericks. So with Dwight Howard out, Clint Capela at 4,700 is worth a look because he'll start. He would have started anyway, but he'll start at center. And with one big man down, unless foul trouble hits, which is not something that can really be controlled. Yes, it can happen. But Clint Capela makes a really good play to me here. He's been awesome in all the games that Dwight has missed. He was stunk in the last game, but even stinking in the last game, he still averaged 24.5 points across his last three. So he'd been putting up pretty big lines before that. I like Wes Matthews, who's starting to come along at 4,800. I think this is a good, and again, we're playing the Rockets here, which is basically like the Sixers defense of 2 years ago. Anyone seems to have their best game. So Wes Matthews, Dirk Nowitzki at 6,800. Ray Felton at 3,800 is going to get extra run without JJ Barea out there. All those guys have sneaky value. Chandler Parsons at 4,500. He's only going to play 25 minutes, but against the Rockets, maybe that's enough. I probably wouldn't use him, but he's someone worth considering, as is Darren Williams at 6,900, who's been relatively consistent and relatively good. So I think that, again, a pretty decent matchup for him in this game, although Patrick Beverley is a little bit different to having Ty Lawson on you. Terrence Jones should see a bigger role. At 5,600 though, which are we going to get, the bad one or the shithouse one? Because we've seen a lot of shithouse Terrence Jones this season. Tournaments, you can look at him. 6,700 for Zaza Pachulia. It seems high, but he's been averaging almost 35, so returning value on that salary over the last three games. And again, a Rockets team without Dwight Howard. So Zaza could have a pretty decent game. He's been a beast at grabbing boards too. James Harden at 10,800. Yeah, on the surface against the Mavericks, it doesn't look like a great matchup, but he's still James Harden. He's still going to give you, you know, close to 50 points on most nights. He's averaging 54 across his last five games. He's had a 78-point game this year. If you're spending up at shooting guard, I think James Harden is probably the guy to do it on. The last game of the night, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the New Orleans Pelicans. The Cavs are favored by 5 here. The total is 207.5 points. Jrue Holiday will be back for this one for the Pelicans. He'll be back starting. I'll tell you who's interesting, and this is pretty disgusting. Norris Cole at 3,500. He's got 24 minutes in both the games that he's played, which is baffling in itself. And his minimum salary. So in a tournament, maybe his shot hasn't fallen at all in the first two games. And he's still got 24 minutes. Imagine it starts falling and then Elvin Gentry goes, you play 27 minutes. There's something to look at with Norris Cole, definitely. Jrue Holiday at 4,800. No, thank you. Anthony Davis at 11,100. Yeah, I reckon I'd be okay using Anthony Davis. He's averaging 56 across the last three, getting 40 minutes a game. You can use Anthony Davis. I think he'd be pretty happy with it. And LeBron at 10,000, he's been just rock solid, giving you 45 points most, you know, around that 45-point range most nights. And against the Pelicans, I think he should be okay for that sort of level two. And Kevin Love at 8,200, I don't really love him, no pun intended. What about Tyreke Evans? He's at 7,500. He's been fantastic across the first couple of games, getting big minutes, averaging 36 fantasy points, but he's already at 7,500. And that probably means I don't want to invest too much in him, nor do I want to invest in Ryan Anderson. And with the likelihood that Eric Gordon goes back to the bench at 5,300, there is no chance that I'm getting having anything to do with him, nor am I spending $6,000 on Ish Smith, who's been completely minimized by the return of the useless Norris Cole. That is it. We are done. No, we're not. No, we're not. Let's put up the DFS plays of the day. Friday's DFS plays. Point guards, Ray Felton, 3,800. Jeff Teague, 6,900. John Wall, 9,000. Shooting guards, Wes Matthews, 48. Brad Beal, 7,100. And James Harden, 10,800. Small forwards, Jared Dudley and Otto Porter, 3,600 and 5,100 from the Wizards, with both those guys expecting to see extra run, extra touches with Gortat out, and LeBron at 10,000. Power forward Chris Humphries, for the same reason as Dudley and Porter, he's a min salary guy. Dirk Nowitzki at 68 and Paul Millsap at 8,500. And at the centers, Clint Capela at 4,700, Al Horford at 6,900, and Brooke Lopez rounds things out at 8,300. That is it, guys, for today's podcast. Don't forget to check out No Halftime, the app on your iOS device, and use the promo code DUNK. There's moneyball.com.au, which is in Australia for daily fantasy sports. You can get involved with that. Basketball Monster, of course. You can check out all the stuff that's happening across on Basketball Monster. And Hardwood Paroxysm, the Hardwood Paroxysm Podcast Network, and all the great written work that's put up there by numerous very intelligent basketball writers, Seth Partnow, Ian Levy, all those guys across Hardwood Paroxysm, Nylon Calculus, Upside Motor, all those great websites over there. So make sure you're checking all of those things out. All right, that does it for today's, guys. Good luck in setting your lineups. Good luck in your seasonal leagues. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.